Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by myself, Kenneth Doust. This week, we'll take yet another look at GMOs. GMO, isn't that the Pontiac muscle car designed by John DeLorean himself back in 1964? Whoa, whoa, little GMO. Not quite. We're talking about genetically modified organisms, and why that cholesterol-free vegan soy burger might not be such a healthful choice after all. And we'll hear a bit more of Gary Knoll's movie, GMO Ticking Time Bomb. I hope you'll stay tuned. I've had my bicycle for 30 years. It's a beautiful American-made Trek touring bike. It was built in 1982 with some of the finest components then available. It has no fewer than 3 little green, black, and gold decals, announcing that the bike is proudly constructed of genuine Reynolds 531 double-butted tubing, proudly produced by T.I. Reynolds Limited of Birmingham, England. I glance down at my trusty old IBM laptop computer on which I'm recording this show. This one's only 10 years old. It has a decal saying Intel inside. Intel Corporation built the computer's Pentium microprocessor, and IBM wants me to know its product contains this cutting-edge technology. As usual, I'm cooking dinner for the family tonight. I usually manage something more ambitious, but tonight the main course is Boca Brand Vegetarian Original Vegan Meatless Burgers. I glance at the package. I'm looking for the sticker that brags, made of genuine Monsanto Roundup Ready genetically modified soybeans. Oops, I can't find the sticker. Hey, it's not on the other box either. Now, Trek proudly notes its bicycle's high-tech, state-of-the-art Reynolds chrome manganese molybdenum alloy steel tubing. IBM proudly notes its computer's high-tech, state-of-the-art Intel microprocessor. So, why isn't Kraft Foods proudly noting the high-tech, state-of-the-art genetically modified soybeans in its Boca Brand vegan veggie burgers, eh? About 95% of the U.S. soybean crop is genetically modified. The Boca Burgers website admits that the product, quote, may contain, unquote, GMO ingredients. So why not put a flashy metallic Starburst sticker on the box, bragging, made of genuine Monsanto genetically modified soybeans? It's not mentioned on the ingredients label either. Could it be they don't want you to know? Of course they don't want you to know. They know that if they admitted the GMO ingredients, millions of people wouldn't buy the product. That has happened throughout Europe. That's why the industry is lobbying so hard to defeat every bill that would require labeling of GMO food products. Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise, eh? Well, don't get me started or I'll go on. This is a prelude to another selection from Gary Knoll's interesting documentary, GMO Ticking Time Bomb. A whole lot of issues get brought up in this part of the film, and perhaps they get a bit jumbled. So let me do a little quick sorting. First, a couple of side issues that get brought in. The movie refers to genetically modified BT cotton and BT corn. They don't explain what that is, but I just happen to know. BT is a bacterium, Bacillus thuringiensis. It kills insects. It's naturally occurring. Normally, it washes easily off of food. But BT cotton and BT corn are genetically modified to produce BT all the time in their own cells. You can't just wash it off. Then there's also RBGH, recombinant bovine growth hormone. Cows produce their own natural bovine growth hormone. Our BGH is genetically engineered. It's produced in a laboratory using E. coli bacteria. It's then injected into cows to make them produce more milk. Well, the connection between RBGH and genetically modified food seems kind of tenuous to me. But RBGH is another high-tech bad practice of corporate agriculture. Okay, so much for BT crops and bovine growth hormone, which I think are kind of side issues in this movie. Now, on to the movie's main issues. Crops are genetically modified mainly so they can survive spraying with very toxic pesticides and herbicides, notably Monsanto's herbicide Roundup. Here's five main points the movie is making. 1. Roundup is bad for the environment. 2. Roundup residues in food are bad for your health. 3. Roundup prevents crops from absorbing several nutrients from the soil, so genetically modified crops are less nutritious than conventional crops. 4. Roundup aside, the genetic changes in genetically modified food are likely a cause of increased allergies and other medical problems in people who eat the stuff. And 5. The film asserts that genetically modified food actually changes the genetic structure of the people who eat it. This cannot be good. Is this precisely true? I don't know. A problem with the whole genetically modified mess is that almost nobody has conducted any human clinical trials on any of this new technology. And that's a big problem in itself. So, on to the movie. We'll hear the end of part 3 and then part 4 of Gary Null's GMO Ticking Time Bomb.
When you ask Monsanto whether genetically modified seed is natural, they have two answers, yes and no. And it depends on which side of Washington, D.C. they're talking. If they're at the FDA or the USDA, they say genetically modified seed is absolutely no different than natural food. It doesn't need to be tested, doesn't need to be labeled. The public doesn't need to know if their food's been genetically modified because it's no different. Then when they're on the other side of Washington, D.C., at the patent office, and the patent office is saying, well, you don't deserve a patent because your seed is no different than natural food. They say, oh, no, it's not. It's completely different. We've invented something brand new. It's radically different, and it's so inventive we deserve not just one patent, we deserve entire portfolios of dozens and dozens of patents.
The United States was the only country in the world, still is, that allowed genetically modified organisms or any organisms to be patented. Up until then, living organisms or their products could not be patented. So the patent for insulin, genetically modified insulin produced in the E. coli bacteria, was given to Eli Lilly. Monsanto got it for RBGH, the bovine growth hormone.
Increased levels of IGF-1, or insulin-like growth factor 1, in the RBGH milk were responsible for major increases in different cancers. Now, this information I supplied to FDA Commissioner von Eschenbach in 2007. He ignored it. I supplied this information to Margaret Hamburg, Commissioner of the FDA. She ignored it. So here we have Margaret Hamburg, FDA Commissioner, being told that RBGH milk will increase risks of breast, colon, and prostate cancers and not doing anything about it. So we're dealing with FDA commissioners, which in this regard and in other regards, which I could document, have shown themselves to be recklessly irresponsible. What kind of a democracy are we in when commercial interests, industry interests, take precedence of a public health, even when life is threatened, even when there are avoidable risks of cancer? What kind of Alice in Wonderland situation are we in?
Part 4, Health Dangers.
Monsanto's scientists found bacteria growing in a chemical waste dump near their factory in the presence of Roundup herbicide. Now, Roundup normally kills bacteria. This bacteria would survive, and they said, great, let's put it in the food supply. So they took the gene from the bacterium that allowed it to survive the Roundup and put it into soybeans. And now those Roundup-ready soybeans can be sprayed with Roundup herbicide, and they don't die, just all the other plant biodiversity in the ground dies. The active ingredient in Roundup is called glyphosate. Glyphosate was patented in 1964, not as an herbicide, but as a broad-spectrum chelator. It hugs a lot of different minerals that are needed and does not allow the plants to access them. It also destroys some beneficial microorganisms in the soil, which normally provide nutrients to the plant. It also promotes pathogenic organisms in the soil, which then overrun the plant. And so it creates weaker plants, stronger disease, and the disease does the killing. Now, what do the livestock in the United States eat? They eat largely Roundup-ready crops. Roundup-ready soy, corn, cottonseed, canola mash, sugar beet pulp, and soon alfalfa. So a huge percentage of their food intake is Roundup-ready crops. Now remember, Roundup pulls the nutrients out of the crop. It makes them unavailable. So now we have millions of livestock eating nutrient-deficient food. And what do we eat? We eat plants and we eat animals and take their milk. So it turns out it's a perfect storm now, not just for plant disease, but for animal and human disease. When 44,000 secret FDA memos were made public from a lawsuit about the subject of genetic engineering, the director of the Center for Veterinary Medicine made it absolutely clear that GMOs in animal feed had a unique danger. Toxins can bioaccumulate in animals and in their milk. And so if there were toxins in genetically modified feed, then we might have higher levels of those toxins in the animals that eat the feed or in their milk or other products from those animals.
All our food, 90% of Canadian crops, American crops now are produced by genetic modification, or at least they're contaminated with genetically modified corn, genetically modified soybean, genetically modified everything.
95% of all the genetic modifications are done in order to allow the plants to survive more chemicals being sprayed on them and to allow the animals to survive more drugs being put into them. And of course, what happens is that when their genes are changed, our genes are changed by consuming them, just as the super weeds and the super bugs are genetically altered by consuming them. The bug eats the plant, its genes change. The animal eats the plant, its genes change. We eat the animal or the plant, our genes change. Our baby's genes change, and the change is permanent.
They do not want you to know which products you're buying in the grocery store might contain genetically engineered ingredients. They say that label would confuse consumers. And they say there's no difference between genetically modified foods and non-GMO foods. Well, that's absurd. That's what the word modified means in genetically modified. It is modified, it is different, and it is, in many ways, a threat to the health of the people of our nation and people around the world.
If you take the gene of a cow that helps it to produce milk, that produces a hormone called the bovine growth hormone, and if you take that hormone and you start injecting into the cow, the idea here is then the cow will produce more milk. The companies like Monsanto and Eli Lilly, who invented this hormone independently, and they said there's nothing wrong in doing that because it's substantially the same hormone that the cow produces. That is wrong. Because even if you take natural bovine growth hormone and you give injections of it to cows, then the cows will get sick. Just like if you took human insulin and you started to inject human insulin back to people, they will get insulin shock, they could die. But the cow receiving this hormone will actually be sick. It'll have pus in its milk because it's producing too much milk. The teat canal of the cows will get infected, will have to be treated with antibiotics.
When the Canadians were evaluating bovine growth hormone, the senior scientist there testified before the Senate that Monsanto had offered them a bribe of $1 to $2 million to approve RBGH without further study. They say documents were stolen from a locked file cabinet in the government's office, that they were being pressured to approve the drug, which they thought was of questionable safety. What we have is rigged research, hijacked regulatory agencies, where many people at the agency, at the FDA, that was approving this bovine growth hormone were from Monsanto. Monsanto's former attorney, two former researchers. In fact, Richard Burrows, who was an independent veterinarian working at the FDA, he was fired. He was told he was slowing up the approval process. Well, he sued and was reinstated back at the FDA, but during the trial, his boss admitted that the whole thing was a setup to get him out. He was in the way of the approval of bovine growth hormone.
In the U.S., there's there's evidence that articles have been published that scientists who do any research on that possibly could be show negative results of genetically engineered crops are harassed. They are denied funds. The universities that depend on industry money are pressured to not allow this or to discourage this kind of research.
Monsanto's own research shows that when rats were fed this BT corn, they had signs of toxicity in the liver and kidneys. When they allow animals to graze on the cotton plants after harvest in India, for years and years there was no problem. When they introduced this BT toxin-producing cotton, thousands of sheep died, buffalo died, goats died. I've interviewed the people myself, seen pictures of their dead animals. These animals were successfully grazing on non-BT cotton plants for years. In one case, 13 buffalo grazed on BT cotton plants for a single day, and within 3 days, they were all dead. Unfortunately, there's not sufficient follow-up. One small non-governmental organization pleaded with the government in India, please do some research on these animals. The government refused. They pleaded with universities offering to pay for the research themselves. They refused. So this small NGO did their own research. They put 3 sheep in 1 field with BT cotton Bolgard 1, 3 with Bolgard 2, and 3 with non-GM cotton. Within a month, all 6 sheep eating the BT cotton plants died. But 3 eating the non-BT cotton plants had no symptoms. But their research was dismissed because it wasn't a government agency or a university. So we have a situation where the evidence is there, but it's not being paid attention to because it's being drowned out by the big bucks and the biotech industry with their tobacco type science and their distortion and denial of the facts.
Unfortunately, Monsanto's lobbying power and their financial weight, they are able to use corrupted corporate science, something that I call cigarette science, to get these products slipped into our food stream.
The only human feeding study ever published on GMOs showed that the gene that was inserted into the soybean transferred into the DNA of the bacteria living inside our intestines and continued to produce that protein. So if it happens to be an allergen and you're allergic to it, you may be continuously triggered over and over again by the production of that allergen from within inside your own intestines. When we look at the quality of the nutrients in our soil, we see that that has become actually a victim of industrial agriculture, which destroys the microorganisms in the soil and then puts in a few nutrients as if that were enough to provide a healthy diet. It turns out that the current industrial agricultural model was based on surplus military products after World War II. They had extra bomb-making material that worked as fertilizer, so they created the synthetic fertilizer industry. They had excess nerve gas that they could use as insecticides, so they created an insecticidal industry. And by steering the farmers and the land-grant universities and all the population towards these high-input, corporate-driven agricultural models, we actually stripped away some of the health and some of the nutrients that were vital and are vital to the health of the people and of the livestock.
The plant's ability to absorb nutrients out of the soil is restricted with GMO seeds and plants. And that's why the nutritional value is going down. And that has become a very big concern. And there's a very big concern that many of our foods that we eat, nutritional value contents have to be rechecked because it has changed. It alters the structure of a plant when you put a GMO gene into a plant. So you no longer have the same type of plant and you've changed the makeup.
Monsanto is the only company I know of that doesn't want you to know you're buying something that has their technology inside it. You know, cell phones, computers, automobiles, everything else we purchase, clothing, is branded because everyone wants to know, they want consumers to know that their product is inside whatever you're purchasing. But Monsanto wants that to be a secret. If you go and purchase any of their bags of seed and you look at the back, there's a big, huge box with a big stop sign. And when I first saw this, I thought that meant, stop, this seed is dangerous. Don't swallow it, wash your hands after you've touched it. No, all those health warnings are lower down the bag in smaller font. If you look in the box where the stop sign is, it actually says, stop, these seeds are protected by the following patents. Your use of these seeds must be in compliance with the license agreement. You may not save the seeds for replanting, blah, 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 blah. So they object to labeling of food that consumers buy, but they have no problem with labeling their own product with all of their patent numbers. So there's some things that they want the public to know and other things that they don't.
Traditionally, the proponents of genetic engineering have stated that there's relatively no risk or essentially no difference between genetically engineered plants and products and conventionally raised products. Well, new studies dispute this quite widely. There was a study done last year in the journal Reproductive Toxicology that showed that over 93% of genetically engineered toxins were found in the blood of pregnant women and 80% in the fetuses. So this potent crop toxin is being transferred into the population.
Genetically modified soybeans has as much as 7 times the amount of a known allergen compared to non-GM when the two are cooked. With corn, there's a gene that's normally shut off in corn, but it's switched on accidentally in Monsanto's corn, and that gene produces a known allergen. There's also more herbicides used on these genetically modified herbicide-tolerant crops like Roundup Ready soy, and the excessive herbicides might promote allergic-type reactions. There's also a damage to the pancreas and the production of enzymes that are used for digestion in mice that are fed GM soy. If we take longer to digest proteins, then that means eating genetically modified soy might cause us to be reactive to a wide variety of foods, not just to GM soy.
The real risk here, the real concern is if these threats to the food supply are validated and there is the GE crops are the predominant crops and they've contaminated the rest of the food supply, then the genie is out of the bottle and it's maybe physically impossible to turn the situation around.
GMO ticking time bomb. And I think we have time for a quick update on some anti-GMO activism here in Connecticut. Here's an item from the New Haven Register, February 7th, 2013, slightly condensed by me. It's titled, Opponents of GMOs Push for Connecticut Food Labeling Law, by reporter Joe Amarante. Hartford, opponents of genetically modified organisms, or GMOs, signaled a new push for a state food labeling law with a rally at the Legislative Office Building February 7. It was attended by activists, legislators, chefs, farmers, and even the sponsor of last year's bill, newly retired Dick Roy of Milford. Last year's bill failed to make it to a vote, with legislative lawyers reportedly balking at liabilities that could be exploited by GMO seed maker Monsanto. Republican State Rep. Tony Huang of Trumbull praised Roy. Huang said, This is a basic right of a person to know what they're eating. This year's versions of the bill will be introduced by Representatives Phil Miller, Democrat of Essex, and Diana Urban, Democrat of North Stonington. Genetically modified organisms are engineered to withstand direct application of herbicides and sometimes to produce their own insecticide. Representative Miller said federal regulators at the Food and Drug Administration have, quote, shown they will not apply their own science to this subject, unquote. Miller said, there's a huge growing body of anecdotal evidence that links GMOs in our food supply to respiratory, gastrointestinal, and behavioral issues. And physicians find that when people either reduce or eliminate GM foods from their diets, their symptomology disappears or diminishes greatly. 50 to 60 people attended Thursday's rally. Among the speakers were Tara Cook Littman, who founded the coalition GMO Free Connecticut, Chris Eddy, executive chef of the restaurant Winvion in Litchfield County, and Bill Dusing, executive director of the Connecticut branch of the Northeast Organic Farming Association. Dusing said GMOs in the food supply, quote, is a very large, uncontrolled experiment with human health. The vast amount of GMO crops are designed as sales tools for specific herbicides, especially Roundup. Roundup kills most green plants that haven't been engineered to resist it, unquote. He said that herbicide use has increased by $500 million, and traces are getting into people's bodies. Tara Cook Littman, a former prosecutor, held up a snack food package that read organic and all natural. But on the back it also reads canola or soybean oil, which are made from GMO seeds. She said, the jury may still be out on whether we can definitively say that GMOs are harming us. But I have read enough studies to raise serious doubt in my mind as to whether GMOs are safe for anyone to consume. Labeling, she said, is such a simple request. Representative Miller noted that 62 countries have labeling requirements. And that's the news from Hartford, where all the state senators are well informed, all the representatives are honest, and all the legislation is above average. And thank you for listening to New World Notes. We come to you from the spacious underground studios of WWUH-FM, a community service of that beacon of light in darkest Connecticut, the University of Hartford. You can hear the show again, and maybe 200 other installments, at our website, newworldnotes.blogspot.com. It'll get to my non-carborundum. Look for the union label, keep trying to speak the truth, and ciao.